Good morning. It's, as always, good to be with you this morning. Join with Steve and, of course, welcoming all those that are visiting with us. We want you to know that we appreciate you being here, and we hope that you are encouraged and edified by the things that we are doing. And if you have any questions about what we do or why we do it, we'd be more than happy to discuss that with you. I feel like I should apologize ahead of time. David asked me about a month and a half ago if I would preach, and I said, yes, of course. And he said, all right, there's no backing out. You know, you're committed. And I said, okay. Well, last Tuesday I woke up with a cold. I thought, well, that's a bummer, but I figured I'll have a kick by Sunday. And I woke up this morning and I still don't have a kick. So this is either going to be the shortest lesson I've ever preached or one where I have to take the most water breaks I've ever had to take. So if you'll bear with me, I apologize ahead of time for sniffling and coughing, but I think we can get through this. This morning I want to talk about a subject that I've been thinking about preaching a lesson on for a while. I never have. I think a lot of it was because I didn't know exactly how to approach it. I wanted to make sure that my mindset going into it, the study that I did preparing for it, was in a wise manner, that it was fitting. And after finally deciding, you know, a year ago that I was going to do this lesson, I've got it done. And the lesson that I want to talk about this morning is regarding the Christian and the way that he or she acts on social media. Now, I feel like this lesson needs a little bit of a preface, because I think that many of you, and I know for a fact that many of you don't have anything to do with any type of social media. You're not on any of these. You don't even know what they are. You don't know what they do. And that's fine. And I don't think that it is my place, nor is it the place of anyone in this pulpit, to say that whether you should or shouldn't have one, to promote any type of group that you should be a part of or anything like that. What I want to talk about this morning, whether or not you have one of these accounts or social media accounts, is things that a Christian should or shouldn't do in life. The examples that I may bring out or bring up or show are examples that may have been done online or through these medias, but it doesn't necessarily mean that because you don't have one of these that this is your time to take a nap. And I know that sometimes it seems that people can kind of get this prideful attitude of, oh, well, yeah, I don't have Facebook and, you know, I don't care about any of that stuff. Well, I think that that can almost be a problem. Because I think that these medias can be used for good, and they can be very helpful in many ways. But what I want to talk about this morning are some issues that I see just in my lifetime. And granted, there are many of these, and the majority of these are aimed towards younger generation, the younger people. I think that there are things that older people still do, that they're still involved with. And it may not be through these same medias, but it may be problems that you're still having. But I do think that this is a problem. And I think that, or that it can be a problem. And the things that we're going to talk about this morning, when I say that social media is yada, 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 I want to start by saying, I know that it can be used for good. We're going to show some of those. Obviously, we know that there are scriptures that are sent out daily. We know that we can communicate with our brothers in the Philippines, that at the click of a button, Harry can have his updated blog and we can read about it immediately. We can learn of gospel meetings. We can keep in touch with brothers and sisters that we used to attend with or that go to other congregations. We can hear about those that are sick in the congregation. We can get updates. Those are all good things. And we know that we take advantage of those. But there are so many detrimental things that can be used, that this can be used for. We have to be aware. And we have to be conscious of it. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, I would say that this is the context or the text that I want you to keep in mind as we study this. It says in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus saying, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are a light to the world. A city that is hidden on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all those who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." I think sometimes that we need to be aware, and especially young people, need to be aware that there is a certain hypocrisy that occurs sometimes when Christians state that they are living a certain life, but post, show, Snapchat, send pictures of a lifestyle that does not coincide with the Word of God. And there is no bigger audience to see that hypocrisy than the internet. There are times that I think that even young people or old people alike are naive in thinking they are in this bubble and that the things that they post, share, tweet, whatever it might be online, are not spread around the world. You may think, well, there's not enough people that know about me. I'm not famous. It goes like wildfire. And if you try to make a stand for truth against one thing and you post anything that may contradict that, it will spread. And it will be detrimental not only to you spreading the gospel, but to those that stand for the Church of Christ as well. We are to be lights of the world. We are to be salt. We are to be the season that brings forth the gospel to the world. And if we're not, if we are showing this folly, this idea of foolishness on social media, we're going to have a very difficult time. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 21 says, "Folly is joy to him who is destitute of discernment, but a man of understanding walks uprightly." I want to talk about a few of the temptations and follies of social media. First thing that I want to talk about is that it offers an apparent removal of moral restraints. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 22, there it is, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, and those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." There are many times that the things that we do or the things that we show, post, or whatever it might be, show a disrespect of God's law. In Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." There are times that we may do things, show things, or post things that normally we would not let anyone see. Things that we are wearing, things that we are doing. And I'm not saying this and preaching this to say, go ahead and do those things, just don't post them. I'm saying that is a symptom of a much deeper problem. When we see pictures of brothers and sisters in Christ wearing the most immodest apparel that you can imagine, and they may not be doing it in services, they may not be doing it at a potluck where we are all gathered, but they are doing it, whether it be in their own home, and it is pictured, and it is posted, and it is there for all to see. Do you think that that is helping the cause of Christ? Modesty is modesty. And when you are posting these things for the world to see, it is immodest. So you have to be very careful about, if I was in my own home and someone took a picture of me when I was doing something and I was immodest and they posted that, I would be furious. I would be very angry. Now, I know that that is an extreme and you're saying, Tyler, well, that's ridiculous. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are posting their own pictures of themselves immodestly. And that is a problem. And then when we think that that is because it's different, that's because of our immediate friends, those that know us best, it doesn't matter. When Christians do the things that are of the world, we become of the world. We lower ourselves into that vulgarity of sinfulness and immodesty, and we have to be careful. This idea of posting immodest things isn't the idea just of that being wrong. It's the fact that many times they are posted and you are in a public setting as it is. Dressing immodestly is what is wrong. Posting it is also wrong. But dressing immodestly, doing these things that you shouldn't do, those are wrong. It is amazing to me, and it is almost sad, but I guess it's a way that you can see people's true colors. We know of examples in which we have found out, or have our eyes have been opened to people that have been members of the church who have been involved in sin for a long period of time. We may not have known about it, we may not have seen it, but because of this avenue of social media, it is in front of us. We see it. And we have brothers and sisters that have been withdrawn from because of proof of social media. This lesson is not at all to tell you that you need to be careful hiding these things. This isn't to promote, you need to be more careful about the immodest dress that you don't post it. This is to say, a Christian shouldn't be wearing it. But when we say immodesty is wrong, drinking is wrong, social drinking is wrong, dancing is wrong, here is a picture of me doing all of these things and we post that on the internet, how effective do you think that you're going to be in preaching and teaching the gospel? It's going to be detrimental. And if you don't believe it, you just try it. Because they will search every avenue that they can. One of the number one things you hear about when you're starting to date someone for the first time, and you may not know them real well, it may not be a family friend, they ask you, well, did you Google them? And, you know, that's kind of funny now because that's a term that obviously 50 years ago wouldn't have been used. But did you Google them? And you would be amazed if you've ever Googled yourself. Things that come up. Now, I'm not saying that they're all bad. Sometimes they're silly, they're pointless. But the fact is, when you put things online, when you do these avenues of social media, it is forever out there. And you're going to have to defend them if they're not righteous. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verses 9 and 10, it says, in like manner that also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. And this isn't just for the women only. This is for the men as well. Men professing godliness. There are men that are doing things, posting things, and showing things that are not modest. And we cannot be involved in that. As soon as someone posts something or does something on your wall, and I know that most of this is focused around Facebook. It is the number one media website that is used. But when we talk about this idea of Facebook, now, again, many of you don't have it. You don't know what it is. You don't know anything about it. That's fine. But you may have kids. And more than likely, you have grandkids. You have nieces and nephews. And this is going to be a part of their life. It's something that every business uses. It's something that you can almost get a degree in. Social media marketing. So I want you to be aware that even though you may not have that, it is still a problem. But if it does apply to you, I want you to pay attention. Because there are times that people that are friends of friends will post things on other friends' walls or do things, and you may not see it. But someone else does. And they say, oh, they're associating with them. They would let that be shown on their wall. They like this. They like that. You may like a certain thing, and then the next thing you know, on someone else's newsfeed, it shows some woman dressed in completely immodest apparel doing something that is completely inappropriate, and you had no idea, but it was because you liked something that you shouldn't have, because you weren't careful. You have to be very careful, and especially young people. You may not know everything that is out there. You have to guard your influence. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 says, Beloved, I beg you, sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak evil against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Next thing that I want to talk about this morning is that social media can be an outlet for one to speak their mind. Sometimes this isn't a bad thing. You can preach the truth. You can talk about scriptures. You can do those things. But sometimes it is a very bad thing. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29, it says, He who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. Sometimes we type before we think. The idea of decency and tactfulness is replaced with rudeness. Because it seems to me, and this is not necessarily anybody that I could know off the top of my head, people get very brave when they get online. They get very courageous about what they decide to say or do. And sometimes Christians fall into that category. That they decide that they're going to maybe tell someone off. They're going to put them in their place. It's not the place to do that. It's not the place for a Christian. And we know in the scriptures what it says, if you see a brother in sin, it doesn't mean post it on their wall. It means go to them. If you need to send them a private message, that's fine. But you don't let it for all to see. There is a certain idea of privacy that you don't bring up certain issues on those websites, on those, whether it be Facebook or whatever it is. You have to be careful. And sometimes it's better to spare your words, to keep your mouth shut. Many times we even see Christians, and we call them rants. Go on these rants. Now, if you go on a rant about how much, you know, you hate or guacamole or something ridiculous like that, I don't know who could hate guacamole, but if you were to go on to a rant about that, obviously that's not the kind of things that I'm talking about. We're talking about things that are have to do with maybe worldly issues or spiritual issues, things that can be detrimental to the cause of Christ. When you say things that are negative about certain people without knowing necessarily their true actions or having a better understanding of what or why they did certain things, and you make rash judgments based on that, it is wrong. And it is something that Christians have to be very careful about. Social media is the perfect venue for uncontrolled tongues. James chapter 3, in verse 5, it says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." I've been very fortunate that, and I can't remember what year, this became, social media really became more widely used. But I luckily was older when it came around. I feel a lot older than I probably am, but I was a little bit older, and so this drama that I hear about sometimes, I didn't necessarily have to deal with firsthand. Now, this isn't my place. Again, I want to be very clear. I'm not standing up here to go on a soapbox about what I don't like or like about these social media avenues. What I'm saying is there are times that young Christians, girls, boys, whoever it might be, can be stunted in their growth of walking with God because they are so engulfed with the going-ons of these social media outlets. There are people that I know that is their whole life. They talk about it, they love it, they're always on their phone, they're always on their computer, whatever it is. And they're using it, they're communicating. Now, in and of itself, those things are not bad avenues to communicate. But when it completely engulfs their life, there are times that this venue for uncontrolled tongues comes out. I'm very happy I didn't have sisters. I grew up with four boys, and so there wasn't a whole lot of girly stuff, you know, going on in our house. But I have heard some stories of things that girls have said to one another, whether it be through these outlets or not, that have been detrimental to these kids. And it's very sad. It's very sad that someone can be so affected by something that can be typed out loud, that can be typed and written, sent a picture of, whatever it might be, and it causes all kinds of grief. We need to be very careful that we're not in this. Gossiping, backbiting, evil suspicions, talking about rumors, malicious gossip. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." When you ridicule someone, you become arrogant, unloving. When you post or share profanity, or you join in coarse joking, you have lowered yourself into this sewer of vulgarity that the world has. When you decide that you're going to post, share, or tweet gossips, rumors, things that you are not verified for being true, then you're becoming someone who has crossed over into the land of bitterness and malice. And we as Christians should have no part of it. We have to be very careful, very conscientious of it. Facebook also, or social media, makes it easy to have fellowship with those who practice sin, or lends itself to mindless chatter. I missed one. And that's Proverbs, Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 29. But it also makes it easy to have fellowship with those who practice sin. If you will, in 2 John chapter 9, or 2 John verses 9 through 11, it says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds." In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11 it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." We have some that may be friends or like or whatever it might be with these outlets that are some of the most worldly, horrible venues that you can like. And we have to be very careful. We cannot have fellowship as Christians with this darkness, this sin. We may profess, and you think about the issue of false doctrine, false teachers. We as Christians, and even in within the church, this issue of fellowship with those who preach false doctrine is an issue. But if you say that we are going to have no fellowship with them, but you are still friends with them on this Facebook, y'all may exchange the occasional, "How are you? How's your family? How's everything going? Good. I did this or I did that or whatever." But yet we stand up here and we proclaim that they are preaching false doctrine, that we are having no part of them, but yet we're friends with them. Don't you think that that's a little bit of a contradiction? We as Christians, and I want to continue to say this because I need to remind, or hope to remind you, I am not saying that social media is evil. All of it is the devil. I'm saying that these are things that we have to be very careful about, that we have to be mindful of. One of the things that I want to talk about is that it can consume your time. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 16, it talks about redeeming the time. Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 16, it says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." There are some that, I guess you could say, are obsessed with social media. I don't know how to use most of them, and most of the people that are my age that I would use these with, we don't have really anything to do with them. But it doesn't mean that it's not prevalent in the church today, that there are not young people who use it. I want to talk about